As Brother Darrell mentioned in his beautiful prayer, we ought to be glad and grateful that we're able to be together today. I'm glad you're here, and I'm grateful to be with you, and encourage you to take your Bible and search the Scriptures with us. Feel free to take whatever notes you might like, that you might have the benefit of this study for time to come. I've come this morning to try to encourage each one of us to put a little mustard in it. I remind you of that story that finds its place in the classic parable collection in the book of Matthew chapter 13, in which the Lord likened the kingdom to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. That's Matthew 13, 31. And 32. I want to make spiritual application of that principle of sowing or planting something that is the smallest of seeds and it growing into something that becomes the greatest of herbs, so great that the birds of the air are able to find their lodging therein. I got to thinking about some areas in which you and I may want to put a little mustard in it. And I want to call your attention to that. The first thing I suggest to you is that when it comes to our faith, we need to put a little mustard in our faith. In Matthew chapter 17, we read the story beginning in verse 14 where the disciples were unable to cast spirit out of an individual. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth in the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And so I suggest to you that when it comes to this principle of putting a little mustard in, we need to put a little mustard in our faith. There's some little things that you and I can do to help our faith grow and become great. We need to appreciate the fact that our faith has great value. In fact, it is described as being precious. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 1, Peter talks about like precious faith. And there are several things that underscore the preciousness of our faith. It's precious because we're saved by faith. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul said, By grace are you saved through faith. It's also precious because Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. In Ephesians 3:17, Paul penned that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How does he do that, Paul? By faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. But also, our faith is precious and has great value because promises are inherited through faith. In Hebrews 6 and in verse 12, it is recorded that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith is also valuable because it's necessary to please God. You can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6 records, But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't read those passages without appreciating the fact that your faith is valuable. It is precious. But then there are some things that can happen to an individual's faith. There are some bad things that can happen and some good things that can happen. From a negative standpoint, the Bible indicates that your faith can be made shipwreck. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 19, Paul said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, what happened to their faith, Paul, have made shipwreck. And he cited an example of that, of whom is Hymenaeus in Alexander. What a tragedy that their faith, which was so precious and so valuable, was made shipwreck. But also, the Bible teaches that your faith can be cast off. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 12, Paul said, having damnation because they have cast off what? Their first faith. Those who cast off their faith must not appreciate the value and the preciousness of their faith. Another thing that can happen to your faith from a negative standpoint is that your faith can be overthrown. In 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 18, Paul made mention of Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection has passed already. Notice the impact this had on people's faith, and overthrow the faith of some. And so your faith can be made shipwreck, it can be cast off, and it can be overthrown. You don't want that to happen, because your faith is so important and so valuable. But from a positive standpoint, think with me about some things that can happen to your faith. The Bible teaches that your faith can increase. In 2 Corinthians 10 and in verse 15, Paul said, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is what? Increased. That we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. And so among the things that can happen to your faith is your faith can be increased. But also the Bible teaches that your faith can grow exceedingly. That's the commentary that Paul gave on behalf of the faith of those in Thessalonica. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 3, he said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Paul, why were you giving thanks to God for these brethren? As it is meet, that is, it's fit. It's proper that we should do so. Why? Because that your faith, what about their faith, Paul? Groweth. Now, how did it grow? The Bible says, groweth exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. What a compliment the apostle was able to pay these first century Christians in regard to their faith. He didn't talk about their faith being cast off or overthrown or made shipwreck. But their faith was growing, and it was growing exceedingly. Also, the Bible teaches that your faith can be built up. In the book of Jude, in verse 20, notice the admonition that Jude gave to first century disciples. He said, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. And so, it's a good time to examine my faith from an individual standpoint. What's happening to my faith? Is it possible that my faith is on course to be made shipwreck? Or that my faith may be cast off? Or that my faith may be overthrown? Or is my faith on the increase? Is my faith greater today than it was last year? Is my faith growing exceedingly? Is my faith being built up? And I want to suggest to you that if we'll put a little mustard in our faith, it'll increase. It'll grow exceedingly. And it will be built up. There's some little things that I can do to make my faith great. You think about sowing a little mustard and it growing into something great. What's some little things I can do to boost my faith to make it increase and grow exceedingly? One thing I can do is search the Scriptures daily, just like those in Acts 17 and verse 11. Because I realize that the Word of God is the seed that causes faith to grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. In the parable of the sower, as recorded in Luke chapter 8, in verse 11 it is said that the seed is the Word of God. The only way that I have faith is by the Word of God. Whatever amount of faith you have today, you know how you got that? By hearing the Word of God. And so if my faith is going to increase, if it's going to grow exceedingly and be built up, if it's going to be kept from a shipwreck course, to not be cast off or overthrown, I'm going to have to spend some time in this book, reading it. And like those Bereans who are people of nobility because they receive the Word with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily. Acts 17:11. You don't have to sit down in one sitting and read the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Just by searching the Scriptures daily, putting a little mustard in it, if you please, our faith can grow into great faith. And there are different degrees of faith. I'll read where in the Scriptures there were those who were said to have a little faith. When the disciples were sailing a storm-tossed sea, and they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus, in expression of care, said, "Peace, be still." He said, "O ye of little faith." But then he marveled about the greatness of people's faith. He said, "I've not seen in Israel such great faith." And had the Lord been talking about my faith or your faith, would he have said great faith or little faith? What are some things I can do to help my faith be great? I can attend services like this. I can attend Bible class on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. As the Word is being taught, the seed is being planted to help my faith to grow and to increase. I can read tracts. I can read a bulletin. Those little bulletins that I read each week help my faith to grow and increase because I'm putting a little mustard in it. Little things I can do to help my faith to grow. I tell you another area you might think about where you want to put a little mustard in it, and that is when it comes to the home. I suggest to you that we need to put a little mustard in the home. That is, there's some little things that can be done to make the home the great institution that God designed it to be. You know, God instituted the home at the beginning. When he said of the man Adam, "It is not good that he should be alone. I'll make him and help meet for him." And after he brought all the animals to him, there still was not found one suited to his needs. And so God put the man to sleep. He took a rib from his side. And with that rib, he made a woman, one perfectly suited to his needs, brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Did you know that the home is under attack? It has been ever since the beginning. After God created the first home, guess who appeared in the garden? The devil, in the form of the serpent. And he planted a seed of doubt in the heart of the woman. God had said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." He said, "You'll not die." God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes will be opened. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. He beguiled Eve. That is, he tricked her through his subtlety or craftiness. And so she takes of the fruit that was forbidden by the Lord, eats of it, and her husband eats with her. An attack has been made against the home. As Mother Eve was enticed to sin and transgress the law of God. That's not the only attack that came. The first children. You remember in chapter 4 when Cain and Abel were born? to that union instituted by God. And the Bible says that Cain rose up and slew his brother. Murdered him. The devil is a murderer. And so from that day unto this moment, the home has been under attack. One of the attacks or assaults against the home is made against the husband and the wife. Divorce is very prevalent in our society. And yet from the beginning it was not so. As Jesus, in answering the question of the Pharisees about divorce, made clear in Matthew chapter 9. You can read Genesis 2, where God instituted marriage, and not read a word about divorce. It was not a part of God's plan for male and female at the beginning. But men come along and they have enacted laws that say, no-fault divorce. Whatever reason you want to part or sever that relationship, it's okay, they say. But the Lord gave one reason. Except it be for fornication. Matthew 19. And then verse 9. I'm convinced that there are a lot of divorces that have taken place that could have been prevented. And there are marriages that may even be on the brink at this moment that can be salvaged if husbands and wives would just put a little mustard in that relationship. Some little things that husbands and wives can do as expressions of love and honor for one another that'll help that relationship to grow into the greatest of marriage relationships. One of the mutual responsibilities of husbands and wives is to love and honor one another. In Ephesians chapter 5, the apostle wrote Ephesian husbands saying, love your wives. And he didn't just put the period at that point. He said, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. And in verse 33, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And in the book of Titus 2 and 4, when Paul talked about the fact that Titus was to teach the aged men and women and the young ladies and young men, how that older women are to teach the young women to love their husbands. And in Ephesians 5 and 33, in reference to Ephesian wives, Paul said, see that she reverence her husband, that is to respect her husband, to honor him. And when the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 talked about this relationship, he said in verse 7, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Have you thought about putting a little mustard in this relationship? Have you thought about some little things that you can sow to make this relationship grow and to be strong and successful when so many are not? You know, this is not something to be treated lightly or to be taken for granted. Don't be like the fella who was reported to say when asked, how come you don't tell me you love me? He said, well, I told you I love you the day I married you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. What about a little I love you every once in a while? What about some flowers? Or maybe send a little note in his lunchbox or that says I love you. Or a little text or a call. Just let you know I'm thinking about you. Anything I can do for you. I happen to be out and about. Anything you need that I can pick up for you. Bring it. Think about some little things, little expressions of love and honor that can go a long way when you think about a little mustard that grows into the greatest of herbs that can make your marriage a lasting and successful marriage and a great blessing to you and to others. When I think about putting a little mustard in the home, I think about another relationship, and that is when it comes to parents and children. Children add an element of happiness to the home. Blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4, the apostle said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You know, there are a lot of people in our society that really don't deserve to have children. You think about those that are abused and neglected, and the lives of children that are taken, the things that are reported in the news just boggle the mind. There are those that are so unloving. And remember in Titus 2:4, when Paul talked about some things the older women need to teach the younger, he said to love their children. Children need to know that they're wanted and that they are loved. I'm saddened by the fact that there are a lot of young people that suffer from depression. And there are those who have even taken their lives because they thought that they didn't have the love of their parents. They didn't think they were wanted. They didn't think that they were loved. Could we put a little mustard in this relationship? Some things maybe that we can do, little things to let our parents know how much we appreciate them and love them, and to let our children know that they are loved. Think about some little things in that regard. A little mustard can go a long way. A little time. A little encouragement. A little taking interest in those things that are of interest to them. Put a little mustard in the home. But then let me suggest to you another place that we could stand to put a little mustard in, and that is when it comes to the church. The greatest of relationships that we share is that which we have with one another in Christ. In John 13, the Lord gave a new commandment. He said, love. That really wasn't new, in that the Lord has always expected His people to love one another. But it was new from this standpoint. When Jesus said, "As I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." That's the kind of love that the Lord had for each one of us. And that's the kind of love that I have for my brethren. Also, we are expected to serve one another by love. Galatians 5. And then verse 13, Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind one to another." In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, he said, "Comfort one another." In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he said, "Edify," that is, build up one another. And then in Hebrews 3:13, he said, "Exhort one another." All of us, from time to time, need encouragement, don't we? We need to be built up. Who among us is so strong that he doesn't need to be built up a little bit from time to time? We need comfort. There are cases where misfortune comes to us. We are separated from loved ones. Any number of things that can happen, and we need to be comforted. We need some kind words. We live in an unkind world at times, don't we? A lot of people are mean. And so we need to be in the company of those who are characterized by kindness. There may be those who have fallen away who would still be faithful. There may be those who would be on the verge of falling away who can be rescued if we just put a little mustard in it. Think about some little things that you and I can do by way of kindness to one another, encouragement to one another, to help edify and build up another, expressions of love and concern toward one another. That can strengthen this relationship and help secure us whole for eternity. Maybe a little seed of hospitality. How about coming over to our house, having a meal with us? Maybe going out to eat somewhere. What about a little card in the mail by way of encouragement? Maybe a little greeting, a little phone call, a little visit. Think about some little things like that that we can do. As you think about a little mustard seed, how that can grow into something great and can help make our relationship with those of like precious faith grow and be the strongest and the greatest relationship that it can possibly be. But then I thought about, put a little mustard in, and I thought about another area. And that is, we need to put a little mustard in restoring those who are fallen. Unfortunately, there are sheep that go astray. Coins are lost, and sons leave home. As depicted in the three parables about seeking the lost, the Lord told in Luke chapter 15. And it's responsibility of those who are spiritual to restore such an one. Galatians 6:1. Paul said in the book of James in chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, if any of you do err from the truth, that is to go astray, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Have we realized that there are those who have fallen? There are those who have left the fold who need to be brought back. And if they're not brought back, if they are not restored, then they're going to be lost eternally. How about putting a little mustard in restoring the fallen? Have you thought about some little things that you might be able to do? Maybe a little note in the mail. Just want you to know I'm thinking about you. Miss you. Why don't you come back? Maybe stop by and pay a little visit. Maybe other things that you can do to try to get with that person, to be an encouragement to them, to take an interest in them, to let them know that they have a soul that's valuable to you, and you're concerned about them. You want to see them do what's right. About putting a little mustard in it. Some little things can go a long way. Hopefully, an individual who has fallen knows that we're there to help pick them up. It's up to them whether they want to get up or not. We're there to help them. And nobody would get to the point that they think, who cares? And then there are other areas that could be mentioned, but one other area that I want to encourage us to put a little mustard in. And that is when it comes to bringing folks to Jesus. We were impressed with that concept in our Bible class this morning as we surveyed the book of John. In the book of John chapter 1, we read about Andrew, who had just found the Messiah he'd been looking for. The Bible says he first findeth his brother, Simon. That's Peter. And he brought him to Jesus. That tells me a good place to start in bringing folks to Jesus, and that's within my own family. Maybe you know somebody in your family that needs to be found and brought to the Lord. Maybe you can do that. It shows the importance of it. And that the very first thing that he did upon finding the truth in Christ was to find his brother. And look at who his brother became. Peter. He preached the first recorded sermon on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. About 3,000 gladly received the word and were baptized. He preached that great sermon at Solomon's porch in Acts chapter 3. He took the gospel to the first Gentile recorded who was converted, Cornelius, in Acts chapters 10 and 11. He was there when controversy arose in Acts 15 over fleshly circumcision and helped to resolve that issue by appealing to the example that had taken place at the house of Cornelius and what was said by his mouth. He became an elder in the church of our Lord, as 1 Peter 5 finds him writing to elders, saying, who am also an elder. And 1 and 2 Peter were written by him. What a great man of God. And it all started with his brother finding him and bringing him to Jesus. What a great story. But also in John 1, we read of Philip, who findeth Nathanael. And you know what he said to him? Come and see. He talked about the fact that we found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth. He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He said, come and see. And he accepted the invitation of Philip and he went. And he believed. Nathanael was brought to Jesus by Philip. In John chapter 4, a woman finds the Lord at a well. She hears him say, I that speak unto thee am he. That is the Messiah for whom she had been looking. And she is so excited about it. What she had found. Living water. That she left her water pot at the well. She went into the city and she said to the men of the city, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And so just like Philip, she said, come and see. And they came. Shows the power of an invitation. And the Bible says, they believed on him for the saying of the woman, John 4:35. Can you think of some little things that will go a long way in bringing folks to Jesus? How about just a little come and see? A little card that you might hand to somebody. Come and see. Come be with us. You might give somebody a tract to read. Give them a bulletin to read. You might give somebody a correspondence course to fill out. You might ask for a Bible study. Let's get together and talk about some things this book teaches. Little things that we can do that can go a long way. Maybe ask a little question. Have you ever thought about it? When it comes to bringing folks to Jesus, let's put a little mustard in it. Because this is a really great principle that the Lord established in that collection of parables when he likened the kingdom of heaven to a grain of mustard seed, the least of all seeds. But when it's sown, it grows into something great, the greatest of herbs. And there are a lot of little things that we can sow in lots of different areas that can help make our faith, our home, the church, of which we are members. Our efforts in restoring the fallen and bringing folks to Jesus, greatly successful. Been a good audience, and I hope that each one of us will go away determined to put a little mustard in it. To not underestimate what a little mustard can do. What little things can grow into. Maybe that you've not yet become a child of God. All things have been made ready for you to put on Jesus this very moment. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe the gospel? Would you be willing to repent of your sins? To confess your faith that you believe that Christ is God's Son? We'll be happy to baptize you. That you might have the remission of your sins. And you can go on your way rejoicing as a child of God whose sins have just been washed away. Added to the church, the Lord's family. The greatest of relationships that exist. In which you can call upon God as your Father. And have brothers and sisters who love you and care about you. And there to help you. And when you fall, if you stumble, there to help pick you up. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but you've drifted away. You've not been as faithful as you need to be. You recognize that you need to do better. Why not determine that you're going to do that today? Why not acknowledge that I've not been as faithful as I need to be? And I want to do better. I want to straighten that out. Would you forgive me? Would you pray for me that God will forgive me? And if that's your desire, we'll be glad and happy to pray with you.